Chip, when you guys, it seemed to me like you ran that play against Marshall when you pulled three guys, and he ran the same play against Michigan, but you used a Mecca instead of a second tight end. How do you decide week to week how you're going to layer on changeups to the run game, how you might like just tweak the personnel, or the play might be similar to something you've done?
I think every decision we make in terms of how we're going to do things is based upon what the defense of that week shows you, because it may have worked against Marshall doing it this way, but it's not going to work against Michigan State doing it the same way. So how do you run plays and make sure that they're successful? So that's what the extensive game planning is during the week, you know, from starting on Sunday through game, you know, how what's the best way we can give our guys an opportunity to be successful. So, you know, we spend a lot of time watching film, studying it, and trying to put our guys in positions where they can make plays. So, you know, I think sometimes you get that, well, you ran this play against those guys, how come you don't run it again? Well, because maybe the defense has changed or the personnel has changed. So, but if you can run some similar plays with different personnel, that's always beneficial to you, because I think the core five guys up front still have an understanding of what you're doing.
Front row here, Bill Willis. It's the best defense you've faced so far, maybe the best you'll face all year. It's the Big Ten. What's the challenge? I mean, is it just because they're so fundamentally sound that you know that you've got to be close to perfect yourselves? Or what's the big challenge when you go against them?
Well, Phil's been there for a long time, and I think they really, truly, they teach their system and they develop the players. They do an unbelievable job of developing players. And really, I think it starts in recruiting for them, so they know exactly what all 11 guys' skill sets are and what are required for them to execute the defense that they deploy each week. So I think they do a great job identifying who fits into their scheme and then continue to develop those guys along the course of their their careers there. And I think, you know, they are fundamentally sound. I think they're really, really well coached. It'll be the best coach defense, I think, that we'll face all season long, and that's the challenge of going against them. And there's probably people have been against them for a long time now, so you can go back 10 years and look at what people have tried to do to them. But, you know, I think the test over time is that they don't give up X plays. They make you earn everything that you get. There's not going to be an easy one. So, you know, it's a challenge that I think you get excited about if you're a real football guy going against somebody like Coach Parker.
And can you just assess where Devin is right now? Obviously, he made the touchdown throw to Jeremiah. Where is he in his development right now? How happy are you with where he is?
Devin's done a great job. You know, I think obviously not being the starter is difficult for anybody, but he's been amazing as the backup in terms of what he's like in the room. And he's, as we talk all the time, a chin strap away from going in the game. And he was, you know, we'll get knocked out, got to get another quarterback in the game. He goes in the game and throws a 17-yard touchdown, avoiding a blitz coming off the backside. So really happy where he is right now. He'll continue to grow just like the offensive line is continuing to grow. So I still think it's early for us. You know, we're in game five, and we'll continue to grow. And because we know it's going to be a long season, and we have to develop our depth at every position, because you never know when their opportunity is going to go into play more than just one snap. You know, their opportunity is going to go into play a chunk of the game because the starter got knocked out. So really happy where Dev is right now.
Third row middle, Dan Hope.
Chip, just when you evaluate the first month as a whole, how do you feel like Will Howard has performed as a whole?
I think Will's done a nice job. You know, I think he's gotten better from week one to week four. I think he has a better grasp just because he's got live reps. You know, the toughest position to play in football is quarterback, just from a practice standpoint, because they don't get hit in practice. So I think they can get a false sense of security. You know, if you go, no matter where you go in college and professional football, the quarterback doesn't get touched in practice. So the game is so much different for the quarterback than it is for any other position. But I admire Will's toughness. He stands in the pocket. He can see things. Very rarely does he make the same mistake twice. I think he learns from every experience when he's out there. We have really good conversations in between drives when, hey, this happened. You know, if it comes back and that look comes up again, he doesn't do what he did the play before. He moves on to it. So I think he's done a good job protecting the football. You know, we never want to turn it over, but he's been really good from that standpoint so far in the first four games. So his completion percentage has gone up in every game. So excited about where he is there. You know, if we continue to complete the ball at a high 60, 70% rate, then I think we're being really successful and efficient in the pass game. He's used his legs a little bit. You know, I think that's one aspect that I think he's good at, it, but it just depends on how defense are defending us if he has to do that. So.
Will was talking after the game about, well, there were still some things that we really wanted to get to that we were excited about, and the opportunity didn't present itself. And I know Bill was asking about game plan specific stuff. When you look big picture at your offense and the playbook, how much have we seen? How much more is there at your disposal as this goes forward?
There's always more at the disposal, but I think it's what is applicable in the game that you're playing. You know, I think you have a course of X amount of plays over a season, but then that's cut down for what you're doing that week because you can't practice all those plays during a week. And then even the plays that you practice during the week, you don't get called in a game because that specific situation may have not come up in that game. You know, so, you know, as you go through it, sometimes you find yourself in the red zone more than you thought you were going to be in the red zone. Other times you find yourself you were never in the red zone. You know, you can go 2 or 3 weeks where you don't have the ball inside the 5-yard line, but you got some really good goal line plays, but you never get a chance to call those goal line plays because you scored from 20 yards out as opposed to punching it across the goal line. So each week is different. I think we always over-prepare probably more than often than not and say, hey, we got some really good stuff in these situations. But if that situation only comes up once, you only get to call one play. You had five that you thought were pretty good, but it only came up once. So those other four, you know, you kind of put them in the Tupperware and tuck them away and then try to bring them back out again next week. But we spend a lot of time of how many reps do we have at this particular player, this particular scheme. And then maybe 2 weeks from now, you're playing somebody that's similar to who you had 3 weeks earlier and say, hey, let's take some of those things out of the Tupperware that we practiced that week and really didn't get a chance to run. So
you guys went for it four times on fourth down on Saturday, all worked into the last one, and Ryan talked about wanting to be aggressive and win the game in those spots. What worked in those situations? What do you have the philosophy on fourth down going for? Just everything worked?
Yeah. There's an analytic aspect to it, but I don't think it's always analytics. I think you also have to get the flow of the game and kind of how that's going. So it's a combination of both. You know, what are the percentages if you go for it in terms of success rate? But also you have to factor in what does that do to our team if we don't get it? You know, I think everybody is always, hey, we're all in, we're all in. Well, you're playing poker and you're all in and you only have a pair of twos. You know, they may have a better hand than you, and that's where the situation is. You know, it's easy to sit there and say, fourth down, you should go for it all the time. Well, that's not necessarily the case. But I also think you always have to think about how is your defense playing at the time, and are we willing to put our defense on the field right now if we don't get the first down? So that's part of it. And then we have certain packages based on down and distance that if we get to a fourth and havoc situation, then we're going to dial these plays up. So I think our players are really comfortable because we're calling something that they've practiced and run a lot.
Third row, Rob Allen.
Chip, listening to you talk about Will Howard, that sounds like there's much more he can do right. But there's always room for development. What would you like to see him develop?
Complete every pass. I mean, that would be one. Jared Goff did it last night, right? I think he went 18 for 18, so... And then Amon-Ra St. Brown went 1 for 1, so they were 19 for 19 as a team. So,
what about? Do you think he locks out receivers a little much? I mean, from the untrained eye, how about his progression, looking guys off?
I think Will's doing a good job. I think there's always a growth with all of that. You know, sometimes it may be a newer route that had gone in, and he doesn't have as many reps in the bank as he does with some of the other things that we've run since day one of spring. You know, I think. That every quarterback can improve, every coach can improve, every player can improve. I think it's this is a growth game, you know, and how you develop. And I hope in game 8 we're not playing like we played in game 4. You know, I think it's as you continue to go on and start to add different elements and different things that are happening, different opponents, that's always part of it. But the growth is how do you develop over the course of the season. So I'm pleased with where Will is right now, but that doesn't mean that he's arrived. I don't think you ever arrive in this game. I think every day you got to try to be just a little bit better than you were the day before. And that's what I love about Will, though. That's kind of his mindset is, how do I get a little bit better and how do I improve and how do I help this team win?
Is field vision something you can coach and teach and develop, or is it there or it's not?
No.
CJ Stroud had it. You know, not all guys have it to that level.
Yeah, I don't think all guys have it, but I do think it can be developed. You know, I think for everybody, you know, it's no different than the first time you move into a city. You're going to have to take a map out and try to figure out your GPS, like, how do I get from point A to point B? And then after a while, why was I going this way? If I could have gone around, I would have been there a lot quicker. You know, so it's just part of the process that you go through when you're new and it's, you know, you're trying to figure your way around and you need a map to look at. But after a while, you kind of figure the lay of the land, and then you're a lot more comfortable in your environment. And the more comfortable Will gets in our offense, I think the more success we're going to have.
Obviously, game plans dictate to some degree where the ball is going to go. when you guys have as many weapons as you do, do you find yourself as you in the build up to the game, okay, well, this guy maybe hasn't had as many touches. Can you even do that in this offense where you're trying to get guys more involved at times?
I mean, I think at times, theoretically, you can do that, but you also have to factor in what is the defense's decision on how they defended, how they decided to defend you. You know, we're not, I mean, people can say we're not going to let you run the ball. Well, then we have to throw the ball. So, okay. You know, we're equal opportunities. It doesn't matter if you run the ball across the line, across the goal line, or throw the ball across the goal line. It still counts as 6 points. So, you know, we're not caught up in it. It has to be totally balanced and 50-50 run pass or whatever it is. It really is. It's indicative of what they're doing. And if we can kind of figure out what they're doing and get a really good beat of what they're trying to take away, then you are. You know, and there's sometimes you plan things going into a game and saying, hey, if I was defending us, this is how I would do it. And then when you get into a game, they're like, they're not doing that. All right. Well, then we need to take advantage of that. You know what I mean? So we talk about it, and we want to be balanced, and I think we're pretty good at distributing the ball through. But there are some games where the tight ends may catch the ball more than the running backs catch the ball. That's just the nature of how the game kind of expressed itself. You know, but there are – we have specific plays where we think we're trying to get the ball to them, but we're never going to force it. You know, if they're going to double cover a guy, then they double covered a guy. If they've double covered him, then someone's singled. And that's the beauty of having as many weapons as we have, is if you're going to double one guy, then that means somebody else isn't – you can't double them all. If they did, it's a penalty because they got too many guys on the field. So, but it when you have as many weapons as we have, I think that's always a bonus and that's always a benefit.
Over here to Adam Kay.
That, you know, 4 games as the offensive coordinator up in the box, kind of meshing with Brian, how has that gone for you, and how do you think you've settled in here?
It's been smooth. You know, I think we're our guys have an understanding, you know, in terms of, because we spend so much time together during the weeks of, you know, how it's going to flow. And I don't think there's anything that has gone on in a game that's been a surprise. Like, hey, what was that? Like, why did we do that? You know, there's a constant dialogue going on. But when we're in a third and short situation, we only have 4 or 5 options on third and short. You're not making plays up at the time. They're what you practice, what you've gone over, you know, because you're going to call something that your players have a lot of confidence in running because their confidence is based on their demonstrated ability of doing it in our training sessions. So I think it's been smooth. You know, we haven't really faced a ton of adversity on the offensive side of the ball. So I think that's really when, you know, it'll show. But I'm confident that our communication systems and our protocols that we use right now are solid.
Was there any center field, Jeremy Birmingham,
liked a little better as an offensive coordinator maybe than as a head coach this season?
I missed the first part.
Was there anything you'd like better, being an offensive coordinator, that surprised you as opposed to being a head coach?
You can go to the bathroom between series if you have to. It's about the only difference, I think. It's always kind of tough. Coach Coop can tell you that on the sideline. It'd be really difficult to say, hey, I'm going to leave, you know what I mean? But there's a bathroom upstairs by the booth, so if need be.
Obviously, you have a lot of players that are big weapons, as Pat was talking about. But is there a worry or a risk sometimes of getting too far over the skis, being aggressive, knowing that you have almost like get out of jail free cards like Jeremiah Smith out there that you can just throw it up to? Or, you know, Ryan was talking about trying to out scheme against a guy like Phil Parker, and you're saying, you know, you enjoy that challenge. But is it sometimes hard to dial it back when you have guys that are that explosive?
Yeah, because it's not. We're not trying to out-scheme anybody. We're trying to put our players in positions where they can make plays. I mean, anybody can draw a play up and say, you should do this, you should do that. Then my question is, well, how many reps do you have at running it? You know, and do we feel really good because we've seen the 4 or 5 different ways they can defend that? So we're not trying to – and you're not going to out-scheme Phil Parker. You know, that's just – I think maybe people think a little bit too much into that part is that – these people right here had that people's number. This game has always been about the players and always will be about the players. So, you know, who can really show up in those matchups? And that's what this game's about. You know, this is as good a defense as we talked about as we faced, but there's going to be a lot of one-on-one battles. You know, we have to win against their interior defensive linemen are outstanding. So that matchup with our center and guard against the 2 interior defensive linemen and the All-American linebacker are a huge matchup. And that comes down to just fundamental football. Do we block better than they get off of blocks. You know, can we give the quarterback enough time for our receivers to run the proper depth of their routes to get the ball thrown? Is the quarterback throwing the ball on time, or is he holding the ball too long? You know, it's all of that. So, but we don't sit in there and dream up because you have a Jeremiah or you have a Mac or you have a Q or a Trey that we should do this, this, and this. I think we're always trying to action with their strengths and play to it. But you have to look at all 11 when you're making those decisions because, hey, let's just throw it to him. Well, then how long are we going to protect for? You know, if Jeremiah is going to run a 60-yard route, you know, I learned a long time ago, every inch on a piece of paper is a second of protection. So can we protect for that long? Can we hold up? And now what are we going to do for that? Are we going to keep eight guys in protection? You know, I think there's a lot that goes into it, but I think the ability to have weapons at all spots makes the defense have to defend all those spots. So we're not trying to specifically go to one or another. I think we're just trying to see how they deploy versus these formations and what their tendencies are, and then what are our best chances. And then we got to go play, and then we got to go execute because the scheming's done once the ball snap. You know, it's do our guys hold up longer in protection, and do our receivers get to the right depths? And does the quarterback deliver the ball on time to a location where the defender can't get his hands on it?
Last set of questions to Matt.
Yeah, just following up on that. When you go against a Parker, does it feel like a chess match where the pieces can move, you know, independently type thing? And then what is the tell that you've gotten into a defensive coordinator's head, for want of another term, as a game goes on?
There, it is a chess match where the pieces are moving. So what happened on play one may not be the same thing that happened on play five. You know, it could be different because he could make a different call. And I don't think any coordinator on either side of the ball ever thinks about, am I getting in this person's head? You know, we're really microscopic in terms of our vision on what's the next play and what's the situation. It's second and nine. It's on the left hash. You know, what are our calls on second and nine on the left hash on the plus 30-yard line? That's really where you are. You're not thinking about, am I in his head, not in his head? If you're thinking that, then he's in your head. And I don't have enough space for anybody else in my head, so I'm just going to concentrate on what the next down is, to be honest with you.
Can I ask one more quick follow?
This is awesome.
Just a quick follow.
Quick follow.
Well, everybody's asking follows.
You set the tone, though.
Yeah. When a play actually starts, what are you watching?
When the play starts?
When the play starts, are you watching how the defense is reacting? Because you know what you're trying to do offensively.
Mm-hmm.
Just as a coordinator, what are you watching?
We have really specific, what we call eyes. So everybody has a specific spot on the field. You know, so the offensive line coach may have the offensive line to his sideline. But then the graduate assistant who's in the box is looking at the offensive line to away from the sideline. You know, it's the same thing with the secondary rotation, things like that. So with as many people as we have, there's a lot to that. For me, I understand kind of what the trigger point of the play is. And if something occurred that was out of whack, you know, then I know who to ask right away. So I can ask Billy, what'd the backside safety do? Well, he didn't drop to the backside half. He actually fit into the front. You know, we thought that we had a play where it was going to be too deep on the backside, and it wasn't too deep on the backside. So, you know, sometimes you get a bigger picture because of where you are, and you can see the all 22. But you have an understanding when the ball snapped of what the play should look like. And when there's a breakdown, you know, how quickly can you get the information of what the breakdown was and why was there a breakdown? Was it because the defense deployed differently than we thought they were going to? Or did we lose in one of the matchups that we had? You know, the left tackle missed on a five technique, you know, and so a guy came in clean because, hey, the quarterback could hit quick. I didn't look like there was a blitz. It wasn't a blitz. We missed a block. You know, sometimes that happens.
All right, thanks, man. Thank you.
All right, thanks, guys.